There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and a new week to work with on Midday Mobile. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. You and I, and it's going to be fun. Glad you're along. Guests coming in, and we'll also, in hour number two, replay an interview that Dalton and I did this morning. Dalton and I talked to Dr. Alex Beebe from the University of South Alabama Geology Department. Another earthquake yesterday, and this is now a swarm by definition of earthquakes. We'll talk to a professor in geology to talk about the fault lines that run under your feet right now and what's causing these tremors. That comes up a little after 1 o'clock. Joining us here in just a second, Brendan Kirby. Brendan taking a new gig. He's with Fox 10 TV. Also, of course, KirbyOnPolitics.com, his website, author of Wicked Mobile. He joins us shortly as well. And hold on. Oh, it's one of those little notes. You know how you put the calendar things on your phone, you know, and they pop up here? This note is to ask this question, to crowdsource this with y'all. Why so few fast food places use the first window? What was I thinking when I wrote this note? Why is it always pulled to the next window? Why have the two windows? If you're never going to use the first... There are a few places that do use the first window, but... By and large, you pull up at the first window, and there's the sign with the arrow, pull to the second window. But are we not second window? Are we not first window ready at these facilities? What do we have to do to be operating with the two windows? Why have the two windows and only use the one window? These are some of the questions that have that obviously popped up to me over the weekend. So we'll have that as a sidebar over on the text line at 343-0106. Of course, a big story, and Brendan will join us to talk about the Mueller report. And now, no collusion. Remember, that's the whole narrative for so many anti-Trumpers out there was he's an agent of the Russians, right? He's colluded with the Russians. And I got to ask you this question. I'm gonna talk to Brendan about it in just a second. If you are somebody who does not like anything the president does, that doesn't mean somebody who's a critic of the things he does that you might find foolish, but anything. There's nothing President Trump could do that you would like. I want you to pose a question to yourself. Are you happy with the Mueller report? Are you happy with the conclusion of no collusion? Because I would argue that as an American, you should be. As an American, you should be happy to know whether the president of the United States was working with a foreign entity. You should be happy to know that he was not. That doesn't mean you have to support President Trump. It means you should be happy with the report, and you should be happy as an American first. Put your party, if you feel like you got to wear R or D or I or L on your sleeve, or G or C. If you got to put those on your sleeve, wouldn't you first, as an American, be happy to know that the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States, did not collude with a foreign entity? Wouldn't you be happy with that news? But just to look around the pundit sphere out there, it sounds like it's not. Here's the President reacting yesterday to the news.
After a long investigation, after so many people have been so badly hurt, after not looking at the other side, where a lot of bad things happened, a lot of horrible things happened, a lot of very bad things happened for our country. It was just announced there was no collusion with Russia, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. And it was a complete and total exoneration.
Oddly enough, that audio came from live in the Oval Office. They just piped in the sound of a jet ready. Okay. So many clips I've collected from President Trump. There's a jet or a helicopter in the background. This also from earlier today. That was yesterday from President Trump. Now Vice President Pence says this.
Make no mistake about it, my fellow Americans. This was a total vindication of the President of the United States and our campaign. And it should be welcomed by every American. And even if some Democrats want to spend more time on discredited allegations, the American people can be confident. The President and I are going to continue to focus where we always have, on the issues that are most important to our country, on a stronger and more prosperous America, and on a safer world. And that's exactly what we've done since the first day of this administration.
All right, so there's Vice President Pence earlier today, and we'll talk about the Brendan's reflections on the Mueller investigation and the conclusions and the questions when we come back right here on Midday Mobile. Always hit us up on the text line like many people are doing right now about the first and second window at the drive-thru question. 343-0106. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday edition of the show. And so much to talk about as we set up, as we opened up the show today. And first batter up, and a great man to get opinion from, our own buddy Brendan Kirby with Kirby on Politics. So for gets Kirby's take, we'll talk more about that. And he has a brand new gig, and we'll get into that in a second. But first, let's roll this. Vice President Pence speaking earlier today about the Mueller report.
Make no mistake about it, my fellow Americans, this was a total vindication of the President of the United States and our campaign. And it should be welcomed by every American. And even if some Democrats want to spend more time on discredited allegations, the American people can be confident. The President and I are going to continue to focus where we always have, on the issues that are most important to our country, on a stronger and more prosperous America, and on a safer world. And that's exactly what we've done since the first day of this administration.
All right. So there's Vice President Pence earlier, and y'all right now, Brendan Kirby. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good. So my overall question here is, the Vice President says it's a great day for America. And I want to pose that question to you because I've been bouncing around in my head. Even if you were somebody who was pretty sure there was collusion or out to get Trump at all costs or whatever, wouldn't you believe that it is a great day because you now know that the President of the United States that you might have thought had been colluding with our enemies and the Russians is not? I mean, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, turn it around. What if Mueller had come out with a report saying that he had conclusive proof that the President of the United States conspired with the Russian government to fix the 2016 election? I mean, that would be a terrible day for America, right?
Right.
Beyond the whatever political game one side or the other had, for Americans, that would not be a good thing. So the reverse should be true. It is a good day for America to know that the president did not conspire with a foreign power. I don't think it's going to change people's minds of Trump, you know, whether they like him or not, and that's fine. I mean, this doesn't mean that if you didn't like Trump because of this report, somehow you have to or you're compelled to support his election or anything like that. But at least we know that there's no evidence to establish the main question of this whole 22-month endeavor.
Yeah, it is a great day for Americans. It may not be a great day for Democrats, but it should, if they identify first as a Democrat, second as an American, but as an American, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to know that did not happen. And you get into that in your latest piece over at Kirby on Politics, and we're going to dive into that. But I do want to, we're always talking about different things you do, and you've been in the print world for a long time. Now you've moved to the, I call it radio with pictures. You're now on the TV. Talk to me.
Yeah, I just started with Fox 10 News in Mobile, and last week was my first week trying to learn TV, the new business. It's, you know, they say that I have a face for radio, so it might be a lot higher to put me on TV, but...
It's cool that they've stepped up. So the kind of reporting you're doing is what? Like if you had on your card, it says you're a reporter.
Yeah, I'm going to be an investigative reporter for Fox 10 News. So I'll have a little bit more time to dig deeper into some of these issues and, not have to worry about the daily churn as much, which is good, and hopefully bring some deep reporting to some TV stories, and then just figure out how to tell them visually, which is going to be the challenge for me coming from print.
Yeah, but the investigative side, you've been doing this for decades. What a great asset for the folks over at Fox 10. Good on all y'all, man. I'm happy to hear that.
Thanks, appreciate it.
And you already got a windbreaker, didn't you?
I did, yes, which was a big deal to my father, who was down visiting last month. And when he found out that I was going to be working for Fox, made a point to watch the local news. And he wanted to know if I was going to get one of those cool jackets. And I said, I don't know, but I did, so he's happy.
That's awesome. One day we're going to get some made around here, and then I'll make sure to get you one of those as well. All right, so I want to dig into what you have put up, the latest story over at KirbyOnPolitics.com, and then Kirby's take, your reflections on the Mueller report. You really dig in here and kind of break it down, and this is good. This is you hit some of the points that I was hitting this morning. You hit a couple that I hadn't even thought about. So walk us through, first of all, you say you have five observations, and the first one here is the Mueller probe was not a witch hunt. Wait a second. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, you know, this was the talking point of the president's allies for a long time. That this is a witch hunt. And, as far as I can tell, it doesn't appear that Mueller approached it that way. You know, he and his team seem to have operated in a pretty professional manner. You never found any leaks. You know, from the Mueller probe, there were a lot of leaks and speculation during this, but as far as I can tell, none of it came from Mueller's team because a lot of the reporting was, so misinformed. He showed restraint when he came across matters like the Michael Cohen matter that wasn't related to his central charge. He referred it to other prosecutors. He prosecuted crimes that he came across as he went along, i.e. aides that were not truthful with the FBI, and so he prosecuted those, but he didn't seem to stretch to make a case that couldn't be supported by the facts. And if you think about how, mercilessly he was bashed all those months, the human reaction might have been to fight back.
Right, but he didn't.
I mean, he produced a report saying, we couldn't establish collusion. And then on the other matter, obstruction of justice, he basically said, I'm going to let my bosses decide. Here's the evidence. I can't determine one way or the other. I'm going to let the attorney general decide whether he thinks it rises to obstruction of justice. You would think someone with an interest in being vindictive could have easily made the case, based on some of the things that happened, and he chose not to do that. So I think it's pretty good vindication for Mueller, and it makes me wonder how much better off Trump would have been, if he just laid off the past 22 months. Let this story...
It's not his style, if you haven't noticed.
Let it recede in the public consciousness, and then when the report comes, he could, hail the exoneration.
Right. And we're at this situation now that's funny. I wish I could have gotten people in kind of like get their thoughts ahead of time, put them in a vault, and then break it open now. Do you trust the Mueller investigation or not? And you probably hear a lot of Democrats thought the outcome would be one way. They'd say, oh, yes, I completely trust him. And there'd be conservatives say, that Mueller, just like the president said, this is a witch hunt. Then it comes out today, or actually comes out Friday. Do opinions change going forward? But Mueller, did his thing. And you say later, and we'll get into this, that is part of the guardrails of democracy, right? I mean, the system worked in this case.
The system did work, and there was all kinds of fear and panic that Trump was going to sweep away all these institutions of democracy. And remember, we needed a law to protect the Mueller probe, and every time we had a new attorney general, this is it. You know, they're going to fire Mueller, and none of that happens.
Right.
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein held firm. He made sure that Mueller had the resources he needed. He resisted Trump's angry tweets and just let it play out. And I think that our democracy is much stronger than people give it credit for, and it goes back to the founding fathers were pretty darn good at setting up a system with competing power centers to prevent one person from exercising too much power. It's that the power is too dispersed, and that's the genius of the American system.
It is fantastic. Just joining us, talking to Brendan Kirby, investigative reporter with Fox 10 TV, and also the host over at KirbyOnPolitics.com, author of Wicked Mobile. All right, you said Mueller's report should, but probably won't, put an end to the collusion narrative. I'll go ahead and you wrote this. What day did you write this?
Went up this morning. So this I wrote morning. It yesterday.
Yesterday. Well, you called that shot. Listening today, over the last few hours, it's been but there is still collusion. Wait a second. They said there's no collusion. There's still collusion. Y'all just haven't found it.
Yeah, it's almost as if the Mueller report didn't even matter.
Right, right.
To both sides. I mean, from the Democrat standpoint, the strongest element is this obstruction of justice. Because that's they can point to that and say, look, Mueller didn't exonerate Trump, which is true. He specifically didn't exonerate
his job
Trump,
was not to exonerate. His job wasn't.
And his job was not, his yeah. job was not to exonerate. But there's enough there with the obstruction allegations to at least make this case. Here's what it comes down to. Everyone acknowledges that Trump, as the president, can fire at will any political appointee who works for him, including the FBI director. The question is, he cannot do it for a corrupt reason.
Right.
So I think everyone would acknowledge, even Alan Dershowitz, that if someone delivered a pile of cash to the Oval Office and in exchange for the cash Trump fired Comey, that would be a crime. That would be bribery. Even the president can't commit bribery. But short of a corrupt reason, which is hard to prove because you have to get in someone's head, if Trump fired Comey just because he didn't like the guy, that's not illegal. That's illegal. So to prove that he did it for a corrupt reason to stop this Russia investigation is hard, especially since a lot of legal scholars think that Trump could have simply ordered an end to this investigation. And if you believe in the unitary executive, where everyone in the executive branch, including an independent counsel, works for the president, that the president has the authority to stop. So I think legally, constitutionally, Trump would have had a good argument if he wanted to shut it down. So you'd have to prove that he did it for a corrupt reason, and that's just a hard case to make. And just from a political standpoint, Democrats, were probably not going to be able to remove Trump from office by impeachment. It seems clear now they're definitely not going to be able to. They're not going to get 20 Republican senators to convict Trump on the basis of what we know of the Mueller report. So it seems like Democrats would be better off now just trying to find a candidate who can beat him. If I were a Democrat, that's where I would be putting my focus.
Yeah, I would get to that point in a second. But first, this is a great take on this as well. Barr should be transparent. You and I talked about this so many times over the years of this investigation, that it serves political enemies of the president to have this report not come out, better because the assumption is that they're investigating because he did collude with Russia. The danger is it coming out and showing that they have 100% chance of using it as a political leverage point until the report comes out. Then it's only 50-50 how it ends up. And you're saying Barr should be transparent. I think that's, while the Democrats are calling for it, you point that out. But I think that's also good, and you point out it's good for the president.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the big talking points now is release the report, release the full report. And to the extent that Barr doesn't make it public, it's going to seem like he's hiding something. Now, I think that it's highly doubtful that there is a smoking gun evidence hidden deep in the Mueller report, that is being, kept secret, and that the summary he put out, hides that or something. But to the extent that you hide the report, that's what people are going to think. So to the extent possible, and I don't think it's possible to release it word for word. I'm sure there's going to have to be redactions. There may be classified evidence that's part of this that you would want to, you know, keep secret, you know, the so-called sources and methods, you know, something that would give away how our intelligence community operates, you want to keep secret. And you might want to redact the names of American citizens who are mentioned in a disparaging way but haven't been charged. And that's a long-time protocol of the Justice Department, is that you don't disparage an American citizen, you know, that you can't prove committed a crime. And if you remember, you know, this was one of the rationales for firing Comey, because he gave that press conference in which he talked about how reckless Hillary Clinton was with her email use. But, you know, we're not going to charge her. You know, that was, I think everyone agrees, that was a violation of Justice Department protocol. Now, whether, you know, it's probably doubtful that the reason Trump wanted to fire Comey is that, you know, he was too mean to Hillary Clinton, but notwithstanding, that's a consideration. But short of those you know, exceptions, they ought to make it, you know, public. Make it public, even if it contains information that's embarrassing to the president, and I'm sure it is. It seems that it's better off to get that out there, you know, rather than to leave people thinking that something's trying to be hidden.
All right, coming right back. More with Brendan Kirby right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here and good to talk to my buddy Brendan Kirby. Of course, you can check out his work at Fox 10 TV, fox10tv.com, investigative reporter. Also, the book Wicked Mobile, available for purchase right now. And what we're talking about is what he does over on his website, kirbyonpolitics.com, where we get Kirby's take. And this take is all about the Mueller investigation, Mueller report. And Brendan, you're breaking down five things that are takeaways for you, right? Five observations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go down through this, and we get here to one that we visited a second ago, but I want to circle back to this, because I think this is kind of, this was my feeling, and I wonder if there's, this is maybe a challenge for people, what, depending on what their political preconceived notions were about the report. Do you think it's a great day for America, like Vice President Pence said? And you argue, and I argue that the, you said specifically, you put it better than I, that the guardrails of democracy have held. That's how I think you, even if somebody was the biggest opponent of President Trump, they got to feel good about this process, and now knowing the President of the United States did not collude with the dang Russians.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, if you, as you said, if you're an American first, you don't want the prospect of your president conspiring with a hostile foreign government to fix the election. I mean, that would be a terrible major scandal, and bad for the country, bad for democracy. You know, from a partisan standpoint, you might be able to make political hay out of it, but no one should want to be able to win an election because the previous election was tainted. So from that standpoint, I think people should feel good about the conclusion.
And then you mentioned this, that the Democrats should get off what they're doing right now and trying to parse every word here and try to say, oh, well, there's more, even though they won't. They're in control of the House. We could talk about investigations they can bring up. But you said the Democrats should focus on 2020. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, you know, we have an election coming up, and it's probably not going to come as a shock to you that Democrats badly want Trump out of office.
You don't say.
Yeah, that's I'm probably not breaking news to say that, and that's fine. And for so long, it seems like a lot of people have invested so much in Mueller that Mueller was going to take Trump out for them, and it looks like that's not going to happen now. So it seems like the best route is to just try to win the dang election. And the good news for Democrats is Trump looks kind of vulnerable. He's never been that popular. He's very polarizing. You know, his victory last time was premised on a bunch of narrow wins in some states that have normally voted Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he seems like he's beatable. But if the Democrats make the election about Russia, I'm not sure if that's going to do it, because voters in surveys repeatedly tell people that they don't care that much about Russia. It doesn't come anywhere close to the list of top concerns that voters have. So it seems like just from a political standpoint, that the best strategy is to find a candidate with a winning message that that delivers something to people about what they do actually care about, which is middle class economic security, health care, the viability of our long term social safety net programs like Medicare and Social Security. And those are the issues that that I think voters want talked about. So it doesn't mean that you have to drop all oversight of Trump. The Democrats in the House, they control the House, so they're going to keep the subpoena machine busy looking into a bunch of things, and that's fine, that's appropriate. Oversight is part of Congress's job, but to think that that is going to substitute for having to win an election the old-fashioned way, I think would be a mistake.
All right. What about this, though? I mean, it's a Democrat strategist, James Carville, who said it's the economy, stupid. I mean, if the economy is still moving along and they're going, but Russia. Yeah, I mean, that they got to find something else.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And the economy is good. But people are still anxious, about the economy. The long-term trends that we've seen, wage stagnation the wages have gone up a little bit the past few years, but concerns over wage stagnation sure. haven't gone away. One of the issues you talked a lot about, automation, is something that is worrying Americans. Americans are still concerned about the affordability of health care. There's lots of issues that you can run on, the candidate that can present the most compelling vision for solving those problems is probably the one that's going to win, notwithstanding what the unemployment rate is, and that seems to be where it's focused. Just from a political standpoint, even if they're right about Russia, I just don't think it's something that voters really care all that much about. And I would think that the wise strategy for opposing Trump is to talk about the things people want to hear.
Well said. All right, I want to pivot here to a story that you're working on, you've worked on for Fox 10, coming out about a Mobile County teacher that was killed in a wreck with an illegal immigrant. Remind folks of the details of this.
Yeah, the wreck occurred last week, a pretty sad case. Mobile County teacher at a private school died in the wreck, and it turns out the driver was an illegal immigrant who had been arrested in Arizona in 2017, and they put him into deportation proceedings, and then he claimed asylum. He said he was feared persecution in his home country, and that triggered our whole asylum system, which meant that the judge released him because he was a teenager, he was a minor, and under rulings, illegal immigrant minors cannot be held longer than 20 days. So he was released, likely to a sponsor, and then given a court date for October 2017 at the immigration court in New Orleans to come make his asylum claim. He never showed, which is not uncommon in these cases, and a judge ordered him to be deported in absentia, meaning he wasn't there, but they didn't know where he was, and he was sort of under the radar until this accident brought the radar up. So we're just looking more into the asylum loophole, as some people call it, that allow people to remain in the United States, even though most of these asylum claims end up being bogus, the fact that they can remain and in the case of minors can't be detained, it sometimes results in tragedies like this. So we're looking at the asylum system and the role of sanctuary cities. Because ordinarily you'd say, well, why doesn't ICE just go get them? If you skip court, a bail bondsman will get you. Why can't ICE, go get you if you don't come to your immigration court hearing? And the answer is there are hundreds of thousands of criminal aliens that are free in the United States, and that's where the focus of ICE is. And sanctuary cities all over the country that don't honor ICE detainers make that job even harder. It's much easier for an ICE agent if you can just place a detainer request to the local jail and then come pick up the person. But when you have lots of jurisdictions that don't honor those requests and release them, it's obviously harder to track someone down in the community. So to the extent that they're doing that, you know, people like this guy are not going to be a priority for ICE because they've got bigger fish to fry.
Right, right. But is this somewhat of a, because the argument, and I'll make the argument that somebody will say, hey, you know, you're all focused on these, this case, a automotive or vehicular homicide and others, real homicide, all these crimes. Americans do, legal immigrants and Americans do that anyway. Why are you so focused on when illegal immigrants do it? But you're pointing out that there is more to this than just saying, well, they're different because they're illegal immigrants.
Well, you know, I mean, it is true that Americans do this, but by definition, any crime committed by an illegal immigrant is a crime that should have happened because the person should not have been in the United States. This fatal accident that occurred last week happened after a federal judge had issued a deportation order. So this person, had the law been complied with, would have been back in his home country in Guatemala and wouldn't have had the opportunity to do this. Of course, there's a big debate over whether you know, immigrants generally or illegal immigrants specifically commit crimes at higher rates than citizens. A lot of studies show that you know, that they commit less crime. But you know, the counter argument people would make is even if it is less crime, any crime committed by an illegal immigrant should have been an avoidable crime because they're not supposed to be here.
Right, Brendan. If we people want to reach out to you, I know on Twitter, or if there is there a new Twitter handle, or are you sticking with your
Twitter
same
handle at Brendan K. Kirby? And you can watch Fox News this afternoon at 5 and 5:30, and look for this story.
All right, and to remind folks too, if they've yet, shame, pick up to pick up a copy of Wicked Mobile. How can they get a copy of the book?
Yeah, you can get it local bookstores. You can get it online. Arcadia Publishing is the publisher. You know, you can go to Barnes & Noble or you can go to Amazon, anywhere where books are sold, as they say. And you've even pointed out there's the Andy Cap route.
That's right. On the right next to the Andy Cap hot fries on the end cap at your local pharmacy. Brendan, as always, I appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And maybe I can get Brendan to look into my question here about why so few of the first windows are used at drive-thrus in the Mobile area. He's always said, just pull around to the second window. Why put all the first windows in the first place, right? We'll discuss. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Rain, that's what Dr. Bill has in our forecast back to our north and west right now. Not impacting yet, but we'll keep our eyes on it. Get another update from Dr. Bill coming up in just about 14 minutes right here on Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, a couple things breaking this hour. Although I do, let me circle back on this because I'll get to the Avenatti thing in just a second. But yes, Apple announces Apple News subscription service and the Apple credit card. Because we want to make sure, if Google doesn't control every part of your life, we need to hand the rest of it over to Apple. So one of those two companies has some kind of glitch and then nothing works. I know somebody's going, that's because you use Samsung, you use Android. No, but the rest of my family's all Apple. Okay. So the cost of this, and Brendan and I had talked about this off the air, the cost of the Mueller investigation. A lot of people have the story out. This one coming from CNBC says special counsel Robert Mueller has spent just over $25 million in his probe of any links between the Trump campaign and Russia, according to a new filing released on Friday. Okay, we know that part. The filing shows Mueller spent a total of $4.5 million in a six-month period between April and October, with most of the fees going to personnel compensation and benefits. President Trump has blasted Mueller for the cost of the probe. In June, the president wrote a post on Twitter, said the Russian hoax investigation has now cost our government over $17 million and going up fast. Well, when you start tallying it up, this is how we get to the 17. This is how we get to the 25 million. Special counsel Robert Mueller has spent just over 25 million in his probe of any links between President Trump, the campaign, and Russia, according to the new filing. Goes here and says, "All right, so you have 4.5 million of this is that period from April to October fees like salary. It says personnel compensation and benefits. In other words, paychecks, right? People working on this. The probe incurred another $4 million in cost to the Justice Department components not directly tied to the inquiry. I guess those were the other cases that, you know, that Mueller found something and he told Justice Department, hey, y'all might want to look into this. So now we're at $8.5 million. All right. Now here's how we get more money on this. But the inquiry has proceeded along relatively quickly and at less expense than similar inquiries conducted by the Justice Department, such as Kenneth Starr's investigation into President Bill Clinton. How long did that thing go on? It was like seemed forever. Some have noted that Mueller's prosecution of the former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort also netted cash for the government, thanks to asset forfeitures Manafort agreed to part with as part of his plea agreement. Well, that's pretty fair, right, if their investigation said in September Manafort agreed to hand over real estate and cash estimated to be worth as much as $46 million. So, I mean, that's a fair thing. So if the total cost is $25 million, they're saying $25 million in all parts of the Mueller investigation. But from that, they got Manafort, and he forfeited $46 million. It's like a profit center. Like the investigation is a profit center. You know, I was, when I first saw the story, I saw the $25 million. I said, you got to be kidding me. This is how much we spent, you know, on what has turned out to be a nothing burger. And could we have done it for more cheaply? And then I see, well, you know what? In defense of this, they brought in $46 million and seized assets. And so it's a net benefit. All right. Also, while we're on the CNBC site here, one of many sites that has this breaking right now, Stormy Daniels, ex-lawyer Michael Avenatti, arrested for alleged $20 million extortion scheme against Nike, embezzling client money, and defrauding a bank. Oh, I would have never thought. Avenatti? Of course, it's just accusation. He's innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Avenatti's being charged with wire and bank fraud. Arrest was made today, according to federal authorities. The press conference is scheduled to discuss the charges against Avenatti in Los Angeles. That's happening this afternoon. Of course, you know Avenatti because of representing Stormy Daniels in her lawsuit against President Trump and his former lawyer, Michael Cohen. So Avenatti arrested for a charge here that he tried to extort up to $25 million, which is about, hey, that's about the cost of the Mueller investigation. Maybe he was just trying to get some money to give to the Treasury. According to federal authorities, Avenatti tried to extort $25 million from Nike by threatening to hurt that athletic apparel giant financially with negative publicity. Avenatti is also charged in a separate federal case out of Los Angeles where he's accused of embezzling his client's money in order to pay his own expense and debts and of defrauding a bank in Mississippi. Avenatti, 48. I don't know, the guy's like almost my, like, year and a half older than me, was busted in Midtown Manhattan 12:30 this afternoon by FBI agents about 15 minutes after he tweeted that he would be disclosing a big high school and college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike.
That's exactly what I was going to come in to ask. How soon did they bust him after that tweet? Because that's all anyone was talking about this morning was his tweet tomorrow at 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Eastern, which I found it fitting. I think the federal, their press conference is going to be at the same time he's scheduled his press conference to bring down Nike. But he said, we'll be holding a press conference to disclose a major high school / college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike that we have uncovered. The criminal conduct reaches the highest levels of Nike and involves some of the biggest names in college basketball.
Okay, and you say, so that he tweeted that out today at 11. It's got to be Eastern time, I guess, because it's like a picture of his tweet. That's one I should have followed Michael Avenatti. I did not on Twitter. So, 11:16 a.m., March 25th, 2019. Okay, he puts that out. Then, according to the CNBC story, 12:30 today Eastern time, so 11:30 our time, Avenatti was busted in Midtown Manhattan by FBI agents. So there you go. So he tweets, and then that tweet is the go for the bust.
Exactly. The FBI team that were, you know, someone was probably tasked with handling his, watching his Twitter page at all times. They saw that and said, yeah, we got to go now. We've got him.
Now, okay. The two are not necessarily tied together. Timing-wise, yes, right? But the way I read this, what they're saying. He's arrested on charges he tried to extort $25 million from Nike by threatening to hurt the athletic apparel. Okay, that's the blackmail or the con job they're saying was there. But then it says he's also accused of embezzling a client's money in order to pay his own expenses and debts and defrauding a bank in Mississippi. Those could be, I may not know, but they don't seem like they're necessarily tied to the first charge. Like there are other things they were looking at for Avenatti.
Sounds like those might be separate from the Nike thing, but it's coming up aces for Trump over the last three days.
From Friday through Monday, it's so, March Madness.
We'll have to see how long it is before he tweets about Avenatti now.
Well, okay, so let's say that one, if they're saying that he is accused of embezzling client money in order to pay his own expenses and debts, even if the other ones don't go anywhere, he's going to be disbarred. I mean, if that is proven, he's not a lawyer anymore. Also, defrauding a bank in Mississippi, which sounds like a name of an old ZZ Top song. But, the reason I'm stumbling through this is I'm looking at the news just breaking here. There's no more meat on the bone. It's just, these are the indictments, or these are the allegations here, and I guess we'll find out more. There we go. Okay. Avenatti's allegedly defrauded a bank in Mississippi by submitting to the lender false tax return. Oh, we got false tax. This is going to be bad. All right, get more details when we come back.